50 minutes or so here on The Fan. Joining me right now, a very special guest, a diehard Knicks fan, one Mr. Craig Carton. Craigie, what's going on?
You know exactly what's going on. Partying like it's 1999, the greatest sports night of my life. Period. Stop. And I agree with what Jim Dolan said of you just echoed as well. Let's enjoy this the right way, not to be preachy or cliche, but what an amazing, amazing night. I know you've been positive, Tommy, so your stuff came through as well. And it's very hard to put into words how special tonight and this whole run, by the way, was. Only three losses throughout the entirety of the playoffs, dominating wins, average margin of victory, damn near, what, 15, 16 points per game. And I think it's fair to say the greatest fourth quarter team now in NBA playoff history.
Craig, you often talk about it. The Knicks are your number one team. Can you put into words just the emotion that you're dealing with and also getting to celebrate this with your family, you know what I mean? That they're all Knicks fans. Can you just put into words what this championship means to you?
Yeah, it's hard to actually, because it's one of those things you never expect to happen. You get so used to not winning and not even competing for a championship. You know, a drought is over, right? And, you know, the Yankee fans have never experienced that. Giants fans essentially have never experienced that. You know, Jet fans and Knicks fans are the only people, and I suppose Met fans, if you weren't born by 86, have experienced it. I was blessed to be able to see it with two of my kids. I'm actually in Los Angeles right now. I was taping a podcast with Lil Wayne.
Nice.
And I got to enjoy the post game with Wayne and his people. And it's beyond anything I could have imagined. It's surreal. My whole body is tingly. And the emotions were pouring out. It also might have been the Grand Marnier, for sure. But just an amazing night. And Thursday is going to be absolutely off the chains. I think, you know, if you think ballpark, a million or so people went to the Giants parade in 2011. Let's give the 09 Yankee parade a little bit more than that, I suppose. Let's even say 1.4 million. I honestly think we're looking at the prospects of upwards of 3 million people in the Canyon of Heroes for what's going to be the most memorable and most important sports parade in our lifetimes.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and I've talked about that a lot with the parade. I think bare minimum 3 million. You know, it's the one sports team, Craig, that we're all united on. It's the one team that really unifies this city, and it's been 53 years. This one's the one that we'll remember forever and the most special. So this parade, I think you're going to get people from all around the world that are Knicks fans. We've talked about Dolan here. You heard a clip coming out of the break, and obviously you have a great relationship with him. What do you think is going through his mind? He looked emotional after the championship. What do you think is going through his mind? Obviously, the Knicks are his baby. He went through it for a lot of decades, got criticized a ton in this town. They'll never win a championship as long as he owns the team. You know, what do you think he's going through right now as the owner of the Knicks?
I think it's a little self-satisfaction where he's probably going to now flex a little bit. He rightfully so. You know, I think I made the argument a couple weeks ago. Hard to argue that he's not the best owner in town right now.
Yeah.
And now he's delivered us a championship. Look, he's probably the most maligned owner, he and Jeff Wilpon, in the history of New York sports, certainly modern history of New York. And he finally did what a lot of Knicks fans have been asking him to do, hire the right executive and then let that executive cook. But don't mistake the fact that the one thing he did do, and was certainly a part of, was the very difficult decision to replace Tom Thibodeau, the guy that kind of created this, you know, a few years ago and over the course of 5 years. And I thought Gerald Wilkins, who's a guest of ours on Friday, said it right. Mike Brown gets the credit for the championship, but you still have Thibodeau's fingers on it a little bit. And the fact that he and Leon Rose, I mean, Jim Dolan and Leon Rose, thought that they had reached their ceiling with Thibodeau and then decided on Mike Brown, you know, speaks volumes because that was the ultimate decision. I don't think Jason Kidd wins the championship. And if he did, certainly not in the manner that this Knick team did. I don't think Thibodeau is going to win a championship because I don't think we ever would have seen, you know, Jose Alvarado and Jordan Clarkson and, you know, Deuce McBride and Landry Shamet get the important minutes that those guys got. And again, without being cliche, this is a very likable team that on any given night, anybody on this team could have been the hero. Turns out Jalen Brunson did it more often than other guys, but the Knicks aren't champions without Mikal Bridges in the early rounds. OG Anunoby, of course, throughout this entire postseason and the tip in to win game four. And I think at some point, whatever you may have thought about Jim prior to this, you have to give the man his due. He had brought New York City a champion, and he now gets to, you know, can go down in the annals of New York sports as one of the few owners that has brought us a championship. And you consider, you know, this century, there's not a lot of them.
Right.
First championships in 15 years, and the first Nick won in 53 years, and all the accolades are well-deserved and coming his way.
Yeah, listen, they went to perhaps the worst-run organization in sports at times to the best-run organization, certainly in this city, and their champions. It really is a remarkable turnaround. Now, Craig, you know the national media quite well. We know that. And we know they're gatekeepers. And I think for years and years and years, they didn't want to see the Knicks be champions. They didn't want to let Jalen Brunson in their exclusive club. They didn't want to make him the face of the sport. Am I nuts? Jalen Brunson's the best player in the league. How could he not be? I mean, for what he did in this run, he is a champion. He is the finals MVP. Am I nuts to say that Jalen Brunson is the best player in the sport?
Look, it's an argument that can be made for sure. The beauty of Jalen Brunson to me is that he's not the tallest. He's not the fastest. He doesn't jump the highest. He doesn't have the greatest jump shot in the league. Not the greatest defender in the league. But is there anybody else you would want in the fourth quarter with the ball in his hand?
Nope.
The answer is no. So I think you brought the national media earlier, and I think that's worthy of a couple seconds here. You know, whether or not they were rooting against New York or didn't want us to win a championship this year or any year, they got great joy out of picking against the Knicks and telling us how bad the Knicks were and why Jalen Brunson's not a superstar. And I think it's a good reminder that just because the national network puts you on TV doesn't mean you know a damn thing about basketball or any other sport that you cover. And I think the Knicks championship is a great reminder that when people say stupid things just for clicks or attention, that doesn't mean they have any credibility or anybody needs to listen to them. And I think now is an important time to remember that it doesn't matter what they say. I don't want to hear them talking about the great run. I don't care to hear them talk about, you know, anything that they had to say, because every single one of them were wrong.
Yep.
The New York Knicks are champions. Everybody counted them out. Nobody thought, you know, the tape that's gone viral the last month. Every national pundit saying the acquisition of Jalen Brunson was a mistake. He's not a, you know, one type 1A, whatever the heck they said, player. Well, look, when you keep your mouth shut and you prove everybody wrong, now you don't have to listen to anybody. But for all these yahoos that claim, you know, NBA, you know, like superiority from a knowledge standpoint, they all got proven wrong.
Yep.
And we get to gloat now and enjoy the championship that we earned.
Craig, you've been doing this for a long time here in this great city, obviously on WFAN. Where does this run rank? Where does this night rank in terms of just your career here, as far as just the response, the enjoyment, the excitement, and everything we're going to see over the next week leading up to the parade on Thursday?
It's number one, and there's no close second.
Wow!
If you talk about my time as a fan, you know, as an on-air personality in 2007, you know, we got there in 2007, me and Boomer. The Mets have that great collapse, you know, 7-17. The Giants then have the improbable Super Bowl run, which is probably closest to it because nobody saw it coming. You know, a skittish, unproven Eli Manning goes on the road, beats Tampa, beats Dallas, beats Green Bay, beats Tom Brady and the Patriots. That's got to be the closest one. And I think overall in New York, there's going to be a lot of conversation because we like to rank everything, right? I think the 86 Mets one is probably the closest one from the standpoint of the improbable winning game six that got them a game away from the championship. You know, obviously the game four OG put back is like the Mookie Wilson dribbler through Buckner's legs, got us to the chance to win a championship. But look, you know, I don't go back to the 50s or the 20s or the 40s or any of that. Probably no one else does either from a standpoint of who's alive today. I think if you wanted to rank this one, this is number one. The Mets in 86 is number two, and the great Giants run against the Patriots is probably number three.
Yeah, and you love your Mount Rushmores. That OG tip-in, I mean, that's got to be on the Mount Rushmore of New York iconic moments, especially now that they've sealed the deal and won a championship.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a lot of talk about putting a statue outside of the Garden at Penn Plaza with that shot. You know, the Jalen Brunson being a part of it, the tip-in. What we now refer to as the tip. That's what that place is being known as now. But look, it's, you know, it's the David Tyree catch.
Yep.
I know some Giant fans want to put the Manning half catch there in the next one in 2011.
Yeah, I do. For
it's
sure.
It's Yeah, that's, and I have no issue with that. It's the Mookie ground ball for sure. I think those are the obvious four. I think Ranger fans, you know, whether it's the Matteau goal, you know, the hat trick from, you know, Messier, but there's not a lot beyond that, unless you want to go, obviously go back to Don Larson's perfect game in 56, you know, Joe Namath, you know, the guarantee in 69. But it's not a long list. It's not. You know, obviously the Jim Leyritz three-run home run against the Braves. There's a handful of games that you can pick. But when you consider that the Giants have multiple Super Bowl championships in all of our lifetimes, right?
Yep.
And, you know, the Rangers don't, so, but we're not a huge hockey town from a popularity standpoint. This has to be it. You know, 86 for sure has to be it. And we could debate it. You know, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to it, but I think this one is the greatest one in my lifetime. I would put the 86 Mets second. I'm also not a diehard hockey fan, as you know. I'm sure Ranger fans probably put 94, if not third, fourth. And let's have fun debating it because we are NBA champions, period, stop. And that is sweet music to my ears.
No doubt. Final one, Craig, and I'll let you get back to Wheezy and his partying there.
Thank you.
Yes, game four, and I said this because when it comes to Madison Square Garden, and you know this, all the celebrities, all the hoopla, and all the history, and the pageantry, the Mecca, and the electricity, I thought that night, you can never duplicate it, because it was truly the night the Knicks won a championship. It broke the drought 53 years. I think it's one of the greatest moments we've ever had in one of the greatest games in the history of New York sports. And I was just wondering where you have that night ranked. And do you agree with me that it's certainly up there, if not the greatest night we've ever seen?
You're talking about game four?
Yeah.
You know, game four is the only thing close is game 6-86.
Yeah.
You know, I, and again, hockey, I respectfully will defer to others about hockey. Maybe it's a Matteau goal, I suppose. You know, one more mountain to climb, right? Vancouver and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that's there as well. But I think there's, you know, hockey aside, there are two. It's game 6-86, trailing, not going to win a World Series. You know, greatest team the Mets have had not to win a World Series. And what we saw in game four and the greatest comeback in NBA playoff history. I can't imagine there's anything else that comes close to that because it's not just surreal. It's improbable. So the comparison to game 6-86 is the closest one because there's two outs and nobody's on base.
Right.
Right? Single, single, single. Wild pitch, your dribbler. You know, the comeback in game four is the same thing but a basketball version of it. I don't think there's anything close to those two. And I think Thursday is going to be redonkulous. not surprised the mayor's going on the only show with Nets fans on our station and not on with Knicks fans.
He will be on with Evan Tiki and Sean tomorrow on Sunday. Yep.
Like it's later today. It's crazy to me that he's not going on a show with Knicks fans. but I'm thrilled he's on the fan and thrilled he's going to be talking about the parade.
Yeah.
So New Yorkers can plan accordingly. And it's just, I mean, speechless is the right way to put it. I'm not going to get any sleep tonight for sure. And getting on a red eye in a few hours. I have to come back to enjoy the moment in New York with all my people.
All right, Craig, safe travels for you and your family. We'll hear you at 2 o'clock on Monday with McMonagle and the Carton Show, and we appreciate you coming on.
Always keep doing your thing. Appreciate you. And we'll do this Monday at 2. The Carton Show with Big Mac, all Knicks all the time. This is awesome.
All right, Craigie, thanks for calling in. There he is, Craig Carton, and we've heard from Steve Summers. We should have heard from Giannotti. That was on me. I will take full blame for that. I've already texted Gio. I'll text him again 1,000 times. That was my screw up. I didn't have my headphones plugged in all.